Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I could listen to that slide guitar there forever.
That was so nice.
I know. It's so perfect for a summery day.
It is. Where's the hammock? We need a corporate hammock.
Where's the hammock?
Definitely.
We'll get buttons made. Coffee cups. We'll get coffee cups made.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For before the next pledge drive. It'll still be summer. Wow, speaking of...
It's so beautiful.
Who wants to cook?
I know.
You're cooking outside all the time, so.
Well, I always do, though, you know?
Yeah.
I just love it. Well, I made some, do you know what flanken ribs are?
Yes.
Okay, they're those short ribs where they cut them.
Like a Korean
like Asian,
style.
Yeah, where they're thin and they're cut across that whole rack of bones. So each little strip of meat has bone, 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 bone
yeah.
in it. Yeah, like yeah. that. So what happened was I was expecting one guest on Saturday. So Friday, I marinated, you know, about 3 pounds, because there's going to be three of us, me, Dale, yeah. and the guest, of flanken ribs. But then what happened is I had three guests, that's more than one, and just 3 pounds of flanken ribs wasn't enough.
Because no,
the only other thing I had...
It's mostly bone.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I had was fried rice. So we went out to lunch. But so what happened was the flanken ribs marinated an extra day. So usually I do it overnight, but they did it an extra day. And I'm always afraid stuff will just turn to gel or dissolve or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, but they were so good. I'm going to do that for 2 days.
Wow.
Every time from now on. Oh, it was so good. And I knew if I only did it a couple hours, they weren't as good as if I did it overnight. But I never thought, oh, I should try two nights, you know? No,
yeah.
It was so good.
Who would think of it?
Yeah.
Well, not me, because I'm thinking about what's for dinner 5 minutes before we should be eating it. But
yeah.
But still, I imagine marinating almost any protein would benefit from being a little longer than we normally do.
Well, you never know, though, because like chicken just goes weird.
Yeah, well, and it depends on your marinade, too.
Yeah,
if there's a lot of acid in there, you don't want to be...
You said ass.
Did I forget the D?
No, you said it too.
Ay, ay, ay. Don't you start editing me. I'll have to just never talk again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What have you been cooking besides flanken
ribs? I am not done with the flanken ribs.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So tell me about the marinade.
Okay, so it's, come on, brain, wake up. No. Okay, it's oil. So I use... Because sesame oil is expensive.
Yes.
I use about half sesame oil and then half, you know, some other neutral oil.
Yeah.
In this case, I used, I think it was vegetable oil. And then it's sambal, which is a spicy, you know, chili paste, which I love. When they weren't making a sriracha because there was some like pepper dispute for so long, also sambal didn't get made. And I found like a gallon jug at the restaurant supply store and I bought it.
How much do you have left?
Like I'm guessing 17 18ths of a gallon. So anyway, but that was kind of cool. It was really fun having that in the refrigerator. I still do, of course. So sambal, there's a lot of garlic, a lot of ginger, soy sauce, ketchup, but there's ketchup in so many Asian things.
Yes.
And
it's really good up to a point. I don't like it in sweet and sour at all.
No.
And that is a style of
no.
sweet and sour.
Well, and there's probably 2 cups of other stuff and then 2 tablespoons
of
ketchup. And then, come on, brain, brown sugar, lots of green onions. So it's the green onions. So I had all this stuff there in the table. I'm making the marinade, and I've got my cutting board, and I'm cutting green onions. I don't use a little knife. I use a chef knife. I just always have some cutting my junk. And then I accidentally jabbed the oil. So anyway, I buy oil in really thin plastic jugs because there's the big plastic jugs that are so sturdy and you could beat somebody to death with them. But why do I need to put that much plastic into the environment? You know, we all know that we recycle it and it doesn't get recycled. So I buy those super thin ones. They're like water bottle thin.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So anyway,
easy to punch.
So if you jab it, it's going to do it some injuries. So anyway, it's a gallon jug of oil and I jab it. And you know, when you're cutting, your knife is down low. So it's not like, you know, half a cup is going to drizzle out and then I'll be fine. Oh no. So it was just such a unwanted emergency because it was at night. I was marinating for the next day, you know, and I'm just like, oh. And then there's that part of you that's like, well, I could just go to bed and pretend this happened like during the night, you know? I'm like, no, I can't. No,
because there's the only thing worse than fresh an oil spill is a stale oil spill. Anyway. It's the worst trying to clean up oil.
When you do something stupid. Yes, it is the worst. And
then what do you do with all your bottle of oil? I mean, you got a bad jug of oil.
Yeah, I now have a giant Tupperware container of oil.
Oh, swell.
Yeah.
No pouring.
So useful.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, and then it wasn't on the floor. I mean, it happened on the table, so that was sort of a positive because then, you know, it's so impossible to get oil off the floor. You're just slipping and sliding.
And so dangerous.
For the next month. Because it just...
Yeah. Ugh. We all know that.
Yes.
we've all done that.
But see, it's why I don't can. Because I learn by making mistakes. I've never made that mistake before. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 65 and I've never made that mistake before. There's still mistakes to be made. And sewing, you know.
Now, one would think that might be a positive that, you know, we always have something to look for, to live for.
Yeah. Oh, but when you're canning, you just can't make mistakes because you kill your family. And so that's just why I don't do canning.
Yeah.
Because I learn by making mistakes. I'm not going to do that again.
Never going to have the knife near the oil jug.
No. Duh.
We can learn.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yipes.
So it's berry season.
I know. I have been having some pretty spectacular blackberries.
Yeah. They're just all good. Do you make strawberry shortcake?
I used to make it all the time, but it's only two of us, and I am on this years-long weight loss thing, and I can't have anything like that around the house, so no.
Okay. So I took a class from, is it Brian Metcalf?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, at the Food Web a few years ago. It was a biscuit class, and he made it pretty clear that any biscuit you make, you can freeze it raw. So you make the biscuit, you get it all made, and then you freeze it. And they're in the freezer, and you just pull a couple out, and you bake them. And that's a really handy thing to know this time of year, because shortcake is just a biscuit with some sugar on it.
Yes.
You know, that's all that it is.
Yes.
And so...
Well, unless you're into the little spongy things.
Yeah, but they're spongy.
That's a whole different thing. Yeah. It's sponge cake, yeah.
And you can freeze that, too. And in that case, you would bake it and then freeze it, because literally all cake freezes perfectly. You know, so you can make a batch and then have enough for the season. What?
If you have a couple of quarts of good vanilla ice cream and a bunch of frozen bases, you can just buy whatever fresh berry is happening.
Yeah, just cruise through the entire season. Ooh. And you don't have to, you know, buy a pack of six and have four go bad or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just the freezer is your friend. So if you're baking them, you just bake them how you normally would, and then maybe you go a couple extra minutes. That's usually, it just takes a couple extra, and you can tell by how they look, you know. And so if I'm going to make them for the freezer, I don't put the sugar on them because sometimes that kind of turns to a liquid, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
I just freeze it in biscuit form, in biscuit, and then when I am ready, I just, sometimes I'll brush, if I'm going to make several, I'll whip up an egg white and brush some of that on there and sprinkle some sugar. Otherwise, I'll just use a little cream or half and half, brush it on there, and sprinkle a bunch of sugar on there, and then there you got a shortcake. And it works great.
Yeah,
it really does.
Great.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah.
I
and then when you have three guests instead of one, you have enough.
Oh.
What were you going to say? I used to.
I used to use a plain drop scone recipe for shortcake, and that works really good too.
Yeah.
Because how different is a scone from a biscuit? Really?
One molecule.
Yeah. So
one molecule.
Whatever you've got would work fine. Heck. You know, toast an English muffin. I don't care. Put strawberries and whipped cream on there. You're happy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yay.
So I guess I invented a new thing last night.
Really?
Well, no, you know I never really invent anything on purpose.
Do tell, though.
Well, I was digging around in the freezer for something the other day, and I unearthed a frozen pie crust that I had made. Literally, I made it when the Food Web was in the, the old building.
So it's been years.
Years.
Yeah.
but it looked fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I had just rescued, a couple days before, I had rescued a pile of, you know, those bags of mixed miniature potatoes, like there's purple and red and yellow. And well, they were all threatening to make more potatoes, if you know what I mean. So I cleaned them all up and I boiled them, but till they were not really soft, but done.
Parboiled.
Yeah. They were pretty close to fork tender. And threw them in the fridge, and I thought, I'm going to do something with a big batch of mashed potatoes. I don't know what. And then I was thinking about dinner about an hour before dinner time yesterday. And I looked through the fridge to see what I have, and I have a frozen package of ground beef, a thawed package of ground beef, a thawed package of ground pork. I have all these potatoes. I'm like, pie crust. I'm going to make a shepherd's pie.
Oh, perfect.
It'll be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So I saute up all of the meat with onions and, you know, everything I could find, mushrooms, whatever I could find. And I had already set the pie crust out to thaw, and then it was kind of thawable. You know, when you can make a thumbprint in it, you can usually beat it into submission. But everything I did to this pie crust just made it crack and break into big chunks. It was not
cooperating.
It was old.
Yeah.
It was really old. It would be like
I would crack if you
trying to put makeup on a mummy. You know what I mean? It was not going to happen. I had to have last rites for this thing. And then I realized, okay, obviously it's not shepherd's pie. What is it? Okay, maybe it's a pot pie. Maybe it'll be a pot pie and I won't have a bottom crust. I'll just have mashed potatoes on top. So I did mash all of these little potatoes together. And when you mash yellow, purple, and red potatoes together, you get a very unappealing shade of gray.
Oh, no.
But it's delicious. I mean, you put enough cream and butter in there and a little bit of the, herbed cream cheese that comes in pots.
Yes.
If you put that into mashed potatoes, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, thank you, Uriah, for showing me that. And we had a shepherd's pie slash pot pie slash casserole.
How did it look at the end?
Of all this stuff. Plus, I had, you'll appreciate this, I had a little bit of leftover Hungarian mushroom soup.
Okay.
And a little bit of French onion soup.
Okay.
And instead of making the stock, roux kind of thing you would put in there, I just dumped leftover soup
in there. Oh, that's so smart.
And let it bubble with the frozen veg, which I had no fresh carrots. How could I not have carrots in my house? I didn't have any. But I had butternut squash. So the gold part of the thing was represented anyway. Peas and, you know, it turned out good.
So you mixed up the meat and the vegetables.
Yes.
And they had flavor.
Yes.
And you put those in the pan.
Yeah.
And then potatoes on top.
Yeah, I put everything in a casserole dish after the filling was cooked.
Okay.
And I had topped everything with mashed potatoes, which, by the way, I grated some cheese over the top.
Okay.
And then I just put it in the oven until...
But where was the crust?
There was no crust.
Oh,
I didn't have any crust.
Oh, okay.
I was crustless.
Okay, I thought you put the crust over all of that.
No, my crust was my crust is no longer in the freezer.
Okay.
That's all I want to say about it. Anyway, it turned out to be really good.
It sounds really good. I mean, it had to have a lot of flavor.
Yeah. Tom was like, because the color is very off-putting.
Well, do you know what I do? I keep on hand like pink peppercorns. And whenever I make something that's really ugly, I just put pink peppercorns in it.
And it's gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I've made some really, really ugly fish things, you know, that really needed a lot of help. And then, I don't know, once I think down at the spice store, they had a spice mix that had pink peppercorns in it that was for grilling fish. And it just made it so festive. And I thought, I bet I could save a lot of things with pink peppercorns.
Is it?
And
are they actually pepper? I can't remember.
No, they're the only one that isn't. Like green, white, and black pepper are all the same thing. But the pink ones are different. And I don't know if they're actually pepper, but they're not that same plant in different stages of ripeness.
Yeah.
So my brain is so small.
I want to take a quick minute while we're talking about our limited little brains. And I wanted to remind everybody that Food Talk is... Tell me the name of our show, Linda. I almost forgot it.
Food Cooking Talk. At the Coast.
is a co-production of, and I know that these two fine organizations are really sad that I'm to be identified. But it is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And if you haven't gone to those two fine websites, it's certainly not my fault because
they're great.
They're great.
Yeah. You were talking about inventing something new. So I sort of invented something new. Well, I did something and I liked it. So I really like turkey burgers. I grill, especially in the summer, a lot of turkey burgers because you got to grill them hot. Otherwise, they just fall apart in my experience. And so normally what I do is I take ground turkey and I buy the kind that has some fat in it. It's not the completely, you know, fat-free stuff. So maybe I am thinking it's 15% fat, but I might just be making that up. It might just be 7. But I make my patties. I oil them because I just brush oil on them. I always oil my food rather than my grill because that starts fires for me. And then I just put something like Montreal steak seasoning on them, and then I think they're really good. But this time what I did was I took the turkey, and the turkey was a little too... Like, you know how it looks like ramen when it's yes. ground and it wasn't sticking together? So I needed to kind of mash it together a little. So I had some gochujang.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I put that in there. I had a bunch of garlic that was, you know, I always have it in my freezer. Same thing with ginger that was all minced. So I put that in there. And then white pepper and some salt. And so I made patties out of that, and they stuck together just fine. And then I just had buns that I always buy, which are some smallish brioche buns. And I always... toast those in the kitchen while I'm grilling outside. But I made a little salad, and it was, come on, brain, cucumbers, red peppers, onions, oh, and a lot of cilantro. And then I just put seasoned rice vinegar on that. And seasoned rice vinegar has salt and sugar. You can use regular rice vinegar and put salt and sugar in it. And so that's just a little quick pickle. And then I also put, and I had a ton of that pickled ginger that you put on
yes.
sushi on that. So that's what my salad was. So I had the bun, and then I put a piece of cheese on it just because I had it. I don't know if that was exactly the right decision, but a little bit of mayo on the bun, then the salad with all the stuff in it, and it was really good.
It just sounds really good.
It was, and I think it was relatively healthy. It didn't need the cheese. That was kind of a stupid thing to do, but I always put cheese on the turkey burgers, and then I just went into automatic pilot. So,
yeah. It just sounds great.
Thank
it sounds
you.
Totally great. Hey, I wanted to say, you and I usually don't talk about other things, but because North Coast Food Web is a force for good in terms of food and people who grow it and forage it and fish it. And
getting them together with customers
and
support. Yeah, it's just great.
We are a fortunate community to have North Coast Food Web in it. And by the way, NorthCoastFoodWeb.org, KMUN.org. Did I forget to mention that?
No.
You should go to both of those places. But I do want to take a minute and let everybody know that the Food Web is having a fundraiser that they do every June, and it's coming up on the 30th of June, which would be on...
pretty soon, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. It's on a Tuesday. Last year, they did a soup and song. For their fundraiser, and this year they're doing salad and song.
So summery.
Yes, and it's going to be held at Obelisk Brewery, and that is on the corner of Bond and...
It's kind of right behind McDonald's.
Yes, it's at, it used to be the produce company.
Oh, yeah, Columbia Produce.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to be to raise funds for their free food. They do free food boxes.
Yeah, every week
yes.
they do.
And for their organization, but they do, they run the Thursday online market where you go in on Sunday through Tuesday and shop online from local producers and then pick up on Thursday at their building on approximately 14th in exchange. And so anyway, they're going to be doing I'm just reading what she said. This year, instead of soup, we thought to shake it up a bit and try salad instead. We'll have a salad bar featuring local food from our producers. There's going to be music. And so I just want to let everybody know that you should go to northcoastfoodweb.org and get all the details about their salad and song event coming up on the 30th, and help them help our local farmers and ranchers and fisher folk connect with all of us who eat. So basically all of us, yeah. To make a healthier community, both economically and healthy-wise, physically.
Well, and then what a great time for a salad bar, June 30th.
I know.
Because you think, I mean, salad bars are good, but they're just stuff, you know? And this is stuff that's grown in this county,
yes,
in its prime at the perfect time. Oh, what a
great time. That's the really wonderful thing about their particular market, because there's a lot of wonderful farmers markets this time of year. But this is a year-round, the Thursday online market.
Yeah.
And I have volunteered with them for many years over the years.
Decades.
For this. And I know that the producers deliver that stuff the day that you buy it. So it's
that's why you pick up in the afternoon, because they're delivering it all in the morning and they're picking it in the morning.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really something.
It is really something. So it's going to be really good salad bar. I'm not kidding. And it's a worthy cause. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew about that.
And if you ever find yourself in a food insecure position, the online market comes on Sundays. It starts, I think it's Sunday at noon. I hope I'm not wrong. And then you can start buying things. Maybe it's Sunday at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I think it's 9 or 10.
Stuff.
It's Sunday morning sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, sorry.
But, you know, you can go to the website and find out all about the market, because for sure. And if you are, you know, it's hard times. It's very hard times. And there is no judgment at all about having free food boxes. That's, but it is a first come, first serve thing.
But that's it. If you find yourself in a food insecure position, you can just go there and you can order a box of free food. You don't have to fill out forms. You don't have to bring your tax papers or anything. It's just, if you're hurting, you can get good free food there.
Yes,
it's
that's right.
Greatest thing.
So go online, you know, and if you are not, if you don't have a computer, you're not able to do that, go to the library. Go somewhere that has a computer you can use. Go to northcoastfoodweb.org and check out all the stuff, including the salad and song.
Yeah.
So having said that, what are you planning for dinner?
Let's see. Well, for dinner tonight, we're going to have soup. I was actually just cutting stuff up for soup before I came in here in the morning. So, yeah, we're going to have soup, and then we're having, yay, leftovers for lunch.
We're going to be having gray potatoes for a while.
How did I even get this gig? I just, like, have nothing.
Well, you know what I was thinking? I think about it periodically, that like, what the heck am I doing on this show?
Yeah.
Because there are times when I don't want to cook. And it maybe it's weather. Maybe it's just I'm out of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just tired of it. You know, raise your hand if any of these are resonating with you. But I am not a person who is compelled to do something spectacular twice a day and put it on the table.
Yeah. I intend to have leftovers when I cook pretty much anything. We're going to eat it twice. I mean, that's just for just saving
because
energy.
You're smart.
You know? Yeah, yeah. No.
Yeah. We're having leftovers too. And I used leftover soup to make the leftovers for tonight. So I don't know. It's like twice cooked pork. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Twice cooked pork. Hey, I've been seeing baking recipes that have toasted honey in them.
Oh, toasted honey.
Yeah, have you ever done anything
no,
with that?
No, but I saw
that?
A strawberry pie with roasted strawberries.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I've done that and had that, and it's good. But I just really like fresh strawberries.
Roast.
No, it's toasted honey.
How do you toast
it? So I don't know. So, I mean, I think it's something that I'm going to look into because I really like honey. Like, you think of butter, and when you brown it, it's better. And then sugar, when you brown it, it's better. So I think I'm going to try. But, I mean, it's just recently, I think I've seen like 3 recipes. Wow. And they're all caramel that have it. But I'm going to, and I use honey when I make my caramel, but I don't toast it. And so I'm going to figure that one out because it sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I made, we had rolls with, warm rolls with butter and honey with our gray potatoes last night. And Tom was like, he thought it was a little luxe to be putting honey on on a buttered.
We're not that special.
Well, I was like, what is the difference? You put jelly on it. Yeah. It's just, you know what I mean? At least this sugar was made by bees.
So, you know, I have that friend Georgia who's such a good cook.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a while ago, but you know that salad that everybody's grandma's makes where you slice up cucumbers and you soak them in ice water with salt for a little while and onions and get the oniony out of the onions. And then it's just like sour cream, a little bit of vinegar and dill.
Yeah.
So
it's the Midwest version of Raita.
Okay, yeah. But Georgia made some for dinner once, and I liked it better than mine. Well, how can you change something like that, right?
Wow.
So what she did that was different is she put a little mayonnaise in with the sour cream, so it made it creamier. And sometimes sour cream has a little bit of a chalky mouthfeel to me, so it made it better for me. But she told me, we didn't know that that was the thing that was different to me, so she told me the whole thing. She said, okay, slice up your, take most of the peeling off your cucumbers, leave a little, slice them up, put them in ice water with a bunch of salt, not longer than an hour, she said, and then put the onions in there too, so it soaks some of the bitterness out of them, drain them, and then she said, like, take 2 parts sour cream and 1 part mayonnaise, dill, and so that was what it was. So it was the mayonnaise. But I listened to her, and she said not for longer than an hour. And I didn't ask her why, but I just believe her.
Yeah.
Because why would she say the words if they didn't matter?
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. Like when you put things down in recipes and people don't listen, you're like, well, okay, why did I write that?
Yes.
You know. So anyway, the other night I was making the cucumber salad, and I forgot about them. They were in the salt water. And so I thought what happened is they would get mushy, that was the problem. They wouldn't be crisp anymore, but they were crisp. They were just fine, and they were probably 7 hours in there.
Wow.
So yeah, so I drained them and I made the salad, and what happens is the salt gets in them so much more, and so it was like salt salad.
Oh no.
So that's what happens if you soak them too long in the salt water. They get too salty, in case you're wondering. But you can eat like 3 cucumbers and then you're like and it's so sad because I love that salad so much, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. And I could've... That is summer, that salad.
Yeah, you were right, yeah.
Oh, my God.
My grandma made it with every single meal, you know? Seriously, it was always on the table.
Wow.
And I think that's, I'm from Minnesota, that's a real Midwestern thing.
Yeah.
All the farmers, that was always on the table.
Did you, one of the things that showed up on a table, at a dinner table a lot when I was a kid was Waldorf salad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep. But, you know, that's another thing. If you make it too far ahead, or you put the walnuts in at first and then it sits in the fridge for a while, you get these nerfy little walnuts.
Yeah.
Not good.
I don't like nuts in salad. Well, and then this, Grandma always made things she could grow, you know, and so she can't grow walnuts, so.
Yeah. We had a walnut tree in the yard.
Yeah, she didn't make that.
I had a huge appreciation for shelled walnuts after when I got old enough to realize that you didn't have to go pick them up in their little green husks and start from scratch.
Yeah.
It's
when they weren't so much work.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time.
Aww.
I know. You want to sing us out?
Okie dokie. Red pepper, yellow pepper, green pepper, red light, yellow light. Green light. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home.
Thank you, Linda. Bye, Marianne.